Joe Shane is coming back. The New York Giants confirmed today that the general manager will be retained for the 2026 season and is, of course, leading the search for the New York Giants head coach. John Mara put out a statement today confirming the news, as many other reporters had already kind of indicated this morning. Joe Shane, despite the Giants' disastrous record under his leadership, is going to remain the general manager. Now, I have a high level of frustration with this news. I understand that Joe Shane does have his supporters, and I do appreciate some of the positive moves that he's made to upgrade this roster in specific spots. Of course, Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, we can list off some of the positives. But in my opinion, and I'll start it here before I hand it off to Alex, in my opinion, this is a wins and losses business, and the only way that you could truly evaluate a general manager is by the wins and losses. And the losses have certainly piled up and become a mountain under Joe Shane's leadership. The Giants have 3 wins in 4 years against the NFC East. Come on. They have an abysmal record, the third worst record in the NFL since the start of Joe Shane's tenure. I'm frustrated by this. I know a lot of you are too. And I just think that the Giants are about to strap a head coach to a hot seat general manager once again and just tether him to the shakiest ground possible to stand on. So I'm frustrated by this. We're going to go ahead and dive into it. I'm Anthony Rivardo, the host of Fireside Giants, joined by my co-host Alex Wilson. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And let me get your instant reaction to the news that Joe Shane is returning as the Giants GM.
Well, it's Black Monday, but the Giants didn't get the memo. It is a retention Monday for us, and Joe Shane obviously retaining his job as general manager. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw that video yesterday of the celebration after the win, but John Mara does not look so hot. And, you know, prayers up to him, but he didn't look so good. I get why they're keeping Joe. I get why they don't want to completely overhaul things. They don't want to create a mess. How that influences their head coaching search, we will find out. But Jackson Dart is a damn good sales pitch. I think if they didn't have Dart, it'd be a much different situation. But because they do have him, it's going to be pretty easy to find a head coach that wants to work with this young bull. And to be honest, that's probably the most important storyline is Dart's the sales pitch. Joe Shane isn't. You get the ability to work with this young kid who has the desperate need to win and has all the talent in the world to do so. So I think that is going to attract a lot of great candidates, and we'll see who that is. Kevin Stefanski gets fired this morning. Raheem Morris get fired yesterday. There's guys out there, man. There are bodies, and there are some damn good coaches. Like, people continue to rag on Stefanski. I understand why, but he is a substantially better coach than Brian Daboll. Like, even if you don't like him, you can acknowledge that he is a much better coach than Brian Daboll, especially if he brings Jim Schwartz with him. So there is a lot to like about these guys. There's pros and cons. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Stefanski is my top option because he might not be. But I think people are kind of underrating him a little bit. So I'll throw that out there. But as for Joe Shane, we need to pray that he learned from his mistakes. He said he doesn't want to make the same mistake twice. Well, he does that pretty frequently. We need him to draft well, make good evaluations. We need him to make good roster decisions. We need him to, kind of deploy good contracts, money that doesn't go to waste. Don't solve his own problems with a free agency, Adebo, Javon Holland. Like, he's spent money just to save his own ass at times, and that's not a sustainable strategy, as we're seeing, because some of those contracts are aging quite poorly, and we could have had Xavier McKinney, but obviously not the case. And I don't want to go dig up dead bodies, but, like, this is a big problem for Joe Shane. Like, how does he turn the page? How does he start afresh? He has lots of money to spend in 2027. He can put those cap hits there. The Giants do have money, so I wouldn't sit here and kind of pretend as if we don't have resources, because we do. We do have lots of resources. It's just really how we spend it, the players that we get, the coaching staff we bring in, what type of talent they see as a good fit. I hope this is a lot more of a collaborative effort with Joe Shane and the new head coach. So, you know, Anthony, looking at the synergy that he has to have, no more boys club, no more country club Joe Shane, Brian Daboll hanging out, drinking beers, talking about how are we going to make this team today? Let's throw darts at the board. No longer. Right? They need a head coach that's going to come here that's all business. Joe, I need this. I need that. Go get it done. Simple as that. Joe Shane is a tool to acquire the talent the head coach needs, not the other way around, because I don't think Brian Daboll had a single clue what to do on defense, which is materialized quite frequently based on Shane Bowen's consistent ability to destroy the end of games, and Brian Daboll has nothing to say about it ever. So, you know, it took them firing him after Brian Daboll got fired to actually make a change. So, you know, Anthony, looking at what the relationship has to be between Joe Shane and the next head coach, I think that is going to be a really important storyline to follow.
100%. That's crucial. If there's anything that we learned from this whole Brian Daboll debacle, there's two things. Really, number one, the head coach and GM need to have synergy. They need to be on the same page. It seemed that that was the case early on when this regime got started. Of course, Daboll and Shane both coming over from Buffalo. They were great friends. They had a lot of synergy and chemistry early on. That quickly dwindled. Losses piled up. Mistakes in the roster construction, mistakes in the coaching staff construction, tension grew, and as a result, Daboll out, Shane still in. That's something that the Giants need to avoid. There needs to be synergy between the head coach and general manager. The other thing that we learned from the Daboll debacle was coordinators count. It is so important to hire the right coordinators. Offensive coordinator, for sure. If it's an offensive-minded coach, you expect that's going to be a good hiring. But the offensive-minded coach needs to nail the defensive coordinator hiring. And vice versa for a defensive-minded head coach. Got to get a great plan in there on the offensive side of the ball from a coordinator. So coordinators count. It is so crucial that the Giants not only focus on hiring the right head coach, but they focus on hiring the right head coach who has a plan for the opposite side of the ball from the one that he's got a background in coaching, and that head coach has synergy with Joe Shane. Now, it's going to be tough, I think, for a head coach to have full security with Joe Shane. Joe Shane is coming back this season, despite the fact that after the end of the 2024 season, John Mara said he's ran out of patience. He needs wins this season or wholesale changes will come. Well, he didn't get wins this season, and yet wholesale changes have not come other than the firing of Brian Daboll and Shane Bowen. So, Joe Shane, you're on thin ice, buddy. That's a fact. If Joe Shane doesn't produce wins this year, he's gone. So what does that mean for the head coach that he hires this offseason? That's the scary part of this. What is a head coach going to think when they interview with Joe Shane? Are they going to ask him, hey, you going to be around in 2027? If I struggle my first year, maybe I'm a first-time head coach. Maybe I'm a Chris Shula. I've never done this before. If I only put together 5 wins, are you going to bring in a new boss who's potentially going to replace me after a shaky first start? So now the Giants are just opening themselves up to new risks and new possibilities that could potentially hinder their ability to hire the right head coach for the job. And I just don't agree with this process. I think that the Giants should be bringing out somebody, some third-party voice, Alex, someone with an external view of the organization who can step in and evaluate and say, hey, this is where you need to fix things. This is where you're wrong. This is where you're right. And unfortunately, they're not doing that. They're maintaining the status quo. They're keeping everything internal. And like you said, there's a lot going on in the ownership group. Prayers up for John Mara. I said a prayer for him last night. That video of him getting the game ball was heartwarming, but it was also sad. He's unrecognizable. He's clearly a sick man. And my prayers are with him. My thoughts are with the Mara family. But I can't help but feel questioning whether the ownership group and whether the organization is fully prepared to go through this process of hiring a head coach. And as a result, they're going to keep general manager in that chair, but are they making the right decision? Are they fully evaluating this? Are other things, is life getting in the way, is essentially the question that I'm asking here. Because when you look at the record and you look at the results, they do not add up for Joe Shane. So it's confusing to me. It's expected. We knew this was coming. But at the end of the day, Alex, the Giants are just opening themselves up to an unbelievable amount of risk here as they try and hire a head coach who's going to have to be attached to a lame duck general manager.
I mean, look, the truth is that it was really poor timing, as you said, prayers up to John Mara, but like there is a very high probability that this is not, the retention of Joe Shane is not just a football decision. It is a health and wellness decision because the transformation of bringing in a new GM, hiring a whole new staff, going over the whole thing all over again, it's a grueling process for ownership. They want Joe Shane in the role because he's going to handle all the head coaching stuff. Like they're like, keep him so we don't have to redo the whole tree, right? We'll keep the kind of anchor of the tree. We'll keep the bark. We'll keep the foundation. But we got to now plant. You know, the branches have to be sprouted. The leaves have to be like everything else. But we're going to keep the trunk. And I think that is Joe Shane. He's the trunk, but all the branches and leaves have died off that tree, and now they're trying to water it a little bit more. They're trying to give it a little bit more time. Maybe it'll come back to life, but it's sick. It's a sick tree. Again, my analogies, my crazy mind goes off in these weird kind of directions, but it makes sense in my head, so hopefully it makes sense in yours. I understand why they're doing it, but to me, it's not 100% football related, and that is a compromising factor, and it does suck to see, but I get why they're doing it, and I understand the pressures behind it, and I have to have sympathy, of course, for that decision. So it is what it is. All we can do is turn the page and look to more optimistic and positive future, and that will boil down to the head coach. The head coach has to be good enough to outlast Joe Shane. Even if Joe Shane ends up being fired, that head coach has to have done enough and has to have the right pieces in place and the right coaches in place that say the long-term future of this team does look much brighter because of that. The next coaching staff will be so much more important to the Giants' success than general manager Joe Shane will be. And the reason for that is most of the pieces are already on the team, right? There's not a ton more the Giants are going to do. They don't have a—I said before, they have some money in 2027 to spend, but I don't think they're going to go on some big spending spree. Most of their money is probably going to go towards retaining specific players, not adding new ones. The new add-ons are going to be in the draft. And that obviously would have been great for the first overall pick to trade back and get more selections, but, you know, that storyline is over and dead. The more important thing is, what type of players are you looking for? Do they fit our mold? What are our biggest needs? You know, where do we need to allocate more resources? Those are the things that will stand out. People will turn to the receivers and say Carnell Tate or Jordan Tyson. People will turn to, you know, Caleb Downs, who, by the way, if the Giants go defensive-minded head coach, the Minter or a Halfley or a, you know, even, you know, talking about Shula, Caleb Downs is going to be so attractive to them because they're going to be like, this dude is a freaking weapon to deploy. So the defensive-minded coaches are probably going to feel that way. But then you have to think about the offensive side and really how they're going to solve that part. And that is a big question and one that information is going to start leaking. We know it will. But there's lots of options out there right now. The Giants have a pretty hard decision because the options are like endless. And that's actually makes things a little bit more difficult sometimes.
Sometimes it does. And if the Giants do go with a defensive-minded coach like you're suggesting, they better have a damn good plan for the quarterback. They better have a damn good plan for the offensive coordinator and the game plan on that side of the ball, because sometimes that's tough to do. And one of the reasons why you see more offensive coaches get hired as head coaches, one of the reasons you see fewer defensive coaches find long-term success as a head coach is because so many offensive coordinators get hired. So it's hard to have continuity in your offense if you're hiring a defensive-minded head coach, because if you hit on the OC, give it 3 years, that guy's going to become a head coach, and then you got to start over on the offensive side of the ball. That's why most teams do hire offensive-minded head coaches, because it's easier to maintain continuity with a defensive coordinator. Think about a guy like Spags, who's been the DC there forever. If you've got a great offensive-minded head coach and you hire a guy like a Jim Schwartz, Kevin Stefanski and the Browns, you can just have that defensive coordinator run that side of the ball for years without the risk of him being hired into a head coaching role. So that's one of the reasons why I'm a proponent of the Giants looking more heavily into offensive-minded head coaches, because you have a better chance of maintaining continuity on the other side of the ball. So that's just food for thought. Obviously, we're going to talk more about the coaches, you know, in the forthcoming episodes. Right now, though, what is relevant to this Black Monday discussion is the fact that the Giants now have more competition for their head coaching job, meaning it's not just the Giants and the Titans anymore. As of last night, the Atlanta Falcons job is now open. As of this morning, so is the Cleveland Browns job, and now most recently, the Las Vegas Raiders. So there are quite a few head coach openings now, and that means that the Giants are going to have to compete with these teams for the best coaches on the market. And that's where I want to ask you, Alex, does Joe Shane get in the way of that? I know that the Giants are an attractive destination. I know that they're going to be looked at as one of the most attractive destinations. But does the instability in the front office, and let's be for real about it, the instability in the ownership group, does that deter top head coaching candidates? That's my question for you, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
Does it deter top head coaches? I understand, like, the fear of that. I actually don't really think so, though. Like, I actually don't really think it's going to impact things that much. And the reason I say that is because the Giants have a young quarterback who could be a future superstar. That's enough for any head coach to put their chips in on the table. You know what I mean? Like, if the Giants had Geno Smith, or the Giants had this guy or that guy, obviously the Raiders will get Mendoza, and, you know, they'll build that entire structure around that. But if we were a team that was dead in the water with a middling quarterback, like we had Aaron Rodgers or we had something else, like, yeah, we'd be a horrible destination. And now we don't have the first overall pick, so we don't have a quarterback. Jackson Dart is your sales pitch. Joe Sheen does not matter really anymore in this process because Jackson Dart is going to be the reason a head coach chooses the Giants. Not Joe Sheen, nothing else. So I don't actually think Joe Sheen plays that much of a part in this instance because we got lucky and we do have the quarterback in place. So his factor and variable in this instance is a lot less than I think people may believe. And I also think if the Giants get a really good head coach, it's going to be really easy to get really good coordinators because any coordinator looking at this roster, and you know, this sounds like a Joe Sheen kind of positive spin. There are lots of weaknesses on this roster. Don't get me wrong. There are lots of things that need to be done, but there are some pieces in place that do attract coaches, right? The quarterback, whatever OC the Giants want, whatever OC the head coach wants, probably is going to get. Because Mendoza, yeah, he could be great, but we've never seen him in the NFL. If you watch Jackson Dart's tape, this dude is the real deal. We have seen it with no weapons. OCs are going to be dying to work with this kid, especially because of his demeanor. The defensive side of the football. What defensive coordinator, if it's Jim Schwartz, if it's Raheem Morris, if it's any of these guys that are now going to be available, what defensive coordinator is going to look at this pass rush and say, yeah, I don't want to work with them? I don't think so. That pass rush is a damn good sales pitch for a really damn good defensive coordinator. So do I think Joe Sheen stands in the way? Potentially, if it's an experienced head coach that feels as though he wants his own guy. But if it's a younger guy, it could even be an experienced guy. This roster has the specific pieces in place to be attractive. There are lots of needs, though. There's a massive lack of depth. Some of the first-round picks have not hit. Our offensive line needs a little bit of a refresh, too. Even though we've had a good year, there's some pieces that we need to figure out. Malik Nabers might not be ready. If you guys are looking at the news, he doesn't even look close to ready to being ready for week one. He is way behind schedule. So even though he set him on schedule, he's not. You can see it because he shouldn't be with a crutch right now. There's only 2 weeks after surgery. It's been, 6 weeks now? And he's still using them. So it's not good. I think for the most part, the Giants have enough attractive pieces to get the top cream of the crop. But it really depends on each individual and their preference. So I don't really know what's going to happen in that regard. Stefanski may say to the Giants, I want my own GM. I'm not working with an Andrew Berry type of guy again. Like, we literally cannot work together. Joe, like, I need to know that you are on my side for X, Y, and Z. If Joe's like, I have different philosophical, you know, perspectives, that marriage will not work. So, like, in that perspective, yes, it could become a problem. But for most of the younger coaches, I don't think it will be because they don't really have enough, like, almost capital to make that demand, if that makes sense.
Yes, and to build on that, this could go one of two ways. With the head coaching search and with Joe Sheen as the general manager, it is totally possible that a guy, whether it's Stefanski, McCarthy, Shula, whoever, that the head coach says, I do not want to work with this general manager. And that can go one of two ways here, because Joe Sheen is going to run the search. And if there is the notion given to ownership that the head coach that they want is not going to work with Joe Sheen, they could end up firing Joe Sheen and then hiring a GM and a head coach together. That is totally possible. And we have seen that happen. We've mentioned it before. Last offseason, this happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Baalke was fired after Liam Cohen refused the job because he didn't want to work with Baalke. Then they ended up firing Baalke, hiring Liam Cohen. And hey, the Jags just won the AFC South. They're a powerhouse in the AFC. So that worked out for them. But there is another way that it shaped out elsewhere in the AFC South. A couple of years ago, Alex, the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio was the general manager, and he had the task of finding the next head coach. He said that he would be willing to step down from the position if the head coach did not want him as the general manager. Now, it didn't happen that way because he wasn't a deterrent. The head coach of the Texans, what's his name again? D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans said, I do want to work with Nick Caserio. And then boom, they hired D'Amico Ryans. Nick Caserio remained in his position, and they've been a winning football team, gone to the playoffs pretty much every year with Raheem Morris. I actually think it is every year. So it can go one of two ways. they're going to go through this process, and either the Giants are going to get feedback from these head coaches that they do not want to work with Joe Shane, and that will probably prompt change. Or they're going to go through the process, and it's not going to be a deterrent, and then they're going to find a head coach who wants to work with Joe Shane, and they're going to move forward that way. And maybe that is the right way to do this. Personally, I think there needs to be accountability. I think when you look at his record, 4 wins over, you know, this past season, 3 wins the season prior, I think there should be accountability. He should be fired right now, and they should be wiping the slate clean and starting over. However, there is an argument for doing it the other way around. If the head coaches are attracted to Joe Shane, they're only going to find that out by Joe Shane conducting the search and going through this process. And if through this process they find out that they don't want to work with Joe Shane, then they can make the firing later on this month and start over then. So I won't completely rule it out. I'll keep it on the table. I don't think it's likely. I think Shane is back in 2026, but it is also worth noting, Alex, that according to reports, Joe Shane has not been a deterrent so far in this head coaching search. In fact, I saw Josina Anderson report today that there has been some excitement from certain candidates about working with Joe Shane. So even though there's not a lot of excitement from fans, there might be some excitement within the league about the direction that the New York Giants are going in, and maybe it is an attraction point rather than a deterrent for the New York Giants. So trying to keep it biased, give you guys both sides of the argument. You know how I feel, but there are some reports that indicate it's not a deterrent. It's quite the opposite. Now, while I was talking, another firing took place. The Arizona Cardinals just fired Jonathan Gannon. So there is now another team competing with the New York Giants for these head coaching candidates. One of the reasons that I do want to highlight this one, though, Alex, this is another defensive coach being fired. What does that mean for the Giants? Well, again, I think you should learn lessons. Look at the playoff pool. 9 of 14 teams led by offensive-minded head coaches in the playoffs right now. That's notable to me, and I'm going to do more of a breakdown on that in the coming days. But also, one of the things that I've mentioned, how about hiring a former head coach as the defensive coordinator? How often that works for NFL teams, how successful defenses have been with that formula. Jonathan Gannon will definitely be a top defensive coordinator candidate. He's the guy who took the Eagles to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, then became the head coach of the Cardinals. Keep an eye on Jonathan Gannon if the Giants do hire an offensive-minded head coach. Just wanted to circle him. I could totally see a pairing here where maybe Stefanski doesn't retain Jim Schwartz on his staff if the Giants hire Stefanski, but maybe he goes after a guy like Jonathan Gannon, you know, Super Bowl defensive coordinator from the past. So I kind of threw a lot out there for you to chew on, Alex. So I want to hear your thoughts on that, Jonathan Gannon. But also, of course, like I said, some coaches might be excited to work with Joe Shane. Might be surprising to us, but that seems to be what reports are indicating.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it seems to be the formula for NFL teams these days to go after offensive-minded head coaches. And, you know, you look at the Ben Johnsons of the world, and they are dominating. And listen, modern-day NFL, Anthony, you know, a lot of people will say defense wins championships. I think that's changed. I think it's offense wins championships these days. It's who can outscore the other guy. That's what we saw. I mean, how many times? Eagles, Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs had Spags and got run over by the Eagles last year. So it's like, it's an offensive game these days. I think people that are staying maybe 20, 15 years ago with the defense wins championships methodology, yeah, you need a good defense. I'm not discounting that. But offenses are winning. Like, that is ultimately, like, look what the Bears are doing. They win fourth quarter games more than any other team in football, because they have the ability to pull those tricks out of the bag when they need them most, because they have an offensive-minded coach. More conservative defensive-minded coaches are not going to be capable of scaling that offense the way it needs to be. So, you know, there's some damn good DC candidates out there now. Gannon, Raheem Morris, I mean, good ones. Jim Schwartz, if he ends up leaving. And listen, if you get Stefanski and Jim Schwartz, okay, yeah, you're getting the Browns coaching staff, but the Browns defense is one of the best defenses we've seen consistently in years. Every year they're dominant, every single year. So it's like, okay, at the very least, you know your defense is going to get a 20x upgrade. Stefanski has had plenty of successful quarterbacks, but the OC also has to be a home run. I think the Giants will probably lean offensive-minded head coach in this instance, just because I think that Joe Shane is really integrated with analytics and data, and I think the analytics and data will point him in that direction. So that's my theory right now. My theory right now is I think it will point him in the Stefanski role. It'll point him in the Mike McCarthy kind of direction. I still love Shula, Halfley, I still like all those guys, don't get me wrong, but I think the analytics are going to tell him you need to go offense. You just need to get the right offensive mind, not a guy like Dable who's just going to sit still, country club, not innovate, not do anything to really improve. He just kind of ran with what he was, and it got stale. So that critical mind is of the Kubiak, obviously another one that crosses my mind. But Shula is at the cutting edge. If you can trust him to get the OC right, you could find that balance you're looking for. So we're going to see. There's a lot. These candidates are, some of them are so good. Some of them are not so good, but it's a good problem to have if you're the Giants, to have this many options to consider. And I do think they have the most attractive destination of all the teams that do need head coaches.
I think you can make that argument for sure. And there are so many candidates and so many different guys who are going to be competing for this job. You're right. If you're asking me what I think the Giants are going to be looking for, what I think Joe Shane is going to be looking for, I like your theory. I think it's interesting. You know, he's analytically driven, so he's going to look at the playoff pool. He's going to see how many offensive-minded head coaches are there. You know, this is something I've been talking about, and he's going to look at that formula. That's totally possible. But what I think the Giants are going to do is look more for experience. It's not going to be about a specific side of the ball. It's going to be about experience. Stefanski being an experienced head coaching candidate. So is John Harbaugh, who they're interested in if he shakes free from Baltimore, which I don't think is likely, but after last night's game is more likely than it was 24 hours ago. Also, let me just comment on that. What a game. The first half was so boring, but that fourth quarter was exhilarating, dude. I was strapped in watching that game. I was rooting for the Ravens. Missed field goal, they ended up losing it. But that was a hell of a battle between Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. Tomlin versus Harbaugh. If that's the final time we get Tomlin versus Harbaugh, it's one to go down in the history books. But nevertheless, I'll digress off that. Giants are reportedly interested in John Harbaugh and have internal conversations about him, though, according to Ian O'Connor of The Athletic. So let's keep an eye on the Ravens head coaching job and whether or not it opens up. But I think the Giants are going to lean towards experience. After experience, what are they going to lean towards, in my opinion? Leadership. I saw today Darius Slayton said that he wants a Tom Coughlin-esque head coach to be the next guy. He wants somebody who's got that level of leadership and accountability. Those are the two things the Giants are going to look for. They're going to look for experience like Tom Coughlin had when they hired him, and they're going to look for leadership similar to what Tom Coughlin had. So in my opinion, it's not going to come down to the analytics. It's not going to come down to the offensive-minded versus the defensive-minded. I just think it's going to be experience, then leadership, and that's going to lead the Giants down the path of a defensive-minded head coach. If you're asking me today, Alex, kind of where we'll wrap this episode up, to make my prediction for who the Giants are going to hire, I bet you it's going to be Jeff Hafley. He's from Boston College, which is John Mara's alma mater. He has head coaching experience at Boston College, and he's got accountability and the leadership skills that seems to be what the Giants want. That Tom Coughlin-esque leadership seems like Jeff Hafley has that. So that would be my prediction right here, day one of the Giants head coaching search, Black Monday. There's my prediction. I guess I'll ask you to make your prediction as well, Alex. I'm curious to hear. Obviously, our predictions are going to change over the course of the next days and weeks as the Giants undergo this search for their head coach. But day one, Black Monday, who is your prediction for the Giants head coach hiring?
So my prediction isn't necessarily what I think my preference is. Like, my prediction is not my preference. I'll make that very clear before I tell you. But I think they're going to hire...
Let me make that clear, too. Yeah. I like Jeff Hafley, but he's not my number one preference for sure. Right. But that's my prediction.
Just to clarify, like, our prediction is not our preference. And my prediction is they're going to hire Kevin Stefanski. And the reason I think that will be the case is because he's going to have a great defense, because he's going to be able to get Schwartz or a good defensive coordinator that's out there. He has plenty of experience. He has won the NFL Coach of the Year twice. He had really bad chemistry with Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry just really did weird things. Stefanski loved Jackson Dart, wanted to draft Jackson Dart. Berry didn't draft Jackson Dart. So that whole thing was a mess. And I do think Stefanski will be able to get good coordinators. I think he's... people have said in the comments that the players hated him, this and that. I'm not saying that I want him. My preference probably is a Chris Shula, to be quite frank. However, I think my prediction as of today is that they will hire Stefanski because of his experience, and I think the Giants want a coach with experience to pair with Joe Shane. I don't think they need another or want another first-year head coach that has to, like, figure it out on the go. They want a guy that's going to step in day one and have a plan to put in place that they know is sustainable and works. So, like, that's why I think they're going to go with Stefanski, and you know, obviously not my preference, but that's just my prediction.
Yeah, I think that's an understandable prediction based on everything that we've learned. And I do think it's worth noting, guys, just because I've seen this comment a lot about Stefanski. I am a fan of Stefanski. I'm going to break him down more in a future episode, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I'm going to talk about Stefanski. However, I just want to make one point clear. I see a lot of people say Jackson Dart doesn't fit Kevin Stefanski's offense. The reason the New York Giants traded up to draft Jackson Dart is because the Browns were trying to trade up to draft Jackson Dart because Kevin Stefanski wanted to build an offense around Jackson Dart. You guys need to understand that. he does fit into Kevin Stefanski's offense. Stefanski is the kind of coach to build an offense around the quarterback. And Jackson Dart was who in this draft he wanted to build around. So there's going to be mutual interest. The Giants are going to have interest in Stefanski. Stefanski is going to have a lot of interest in the Giants and the opportunity to coach Jackson Dart. So don't run too quickly to say, oh, he works with pocket passing quarterbacks. Jackson Dart doesn't fit. Don't look at it that way. Think about it as he wants to build an offense around Jackson Dart, and he can further develop Jackson Dart's ability to win from the pocket, which is something that Dart does need to get better at as he goes through his NFL career. So Stefanski, food for thought there. Again, I'll have more to say on him in a bit, but let's round out with any closing thoughts that we have on Joe Shane. Like I said, I think it's inexplicable. I think he should be fired. I just want to rattle off some stats here, Alex, before we do close the book on this discussion about Joe Shane, and some of these stats are going to make you cringe. Feel free, turn the mic off, react to them, get frustrated, go ahead, because when you're looking at a general manager who has a 21-45-1 record across four seasons, I don't know how that guy is asked to hire a second head coach. Since the 2022 playoff win in Minnesota, Shane's Giants have gone 12-38, an abysmal 3-16-1 record against the NFC East since he's gotten here. I mean, think about that. They are in the basement in the NFC East. They are the little brother that gets walked all over and bullied every single matchup versus the NFC East. That's embarrassing to me personally. And also, a really noticeable stat, the Giants have been first in a couple of key categories, Alex. Do you know what it is? Back-to-back seasons, they were first in this one key statistic. Do you know what it is?
One key statistic they were...
They were first in. You ready? This is a fun one.
Yeah, tell me. Yes.
They were the first team eliminated from the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. That's Joe Shane's Giants. And those are the and that is the decision maker. That is the architect of this roster that the Giants want to keep in place. Never mind the draft misses. Never mind the contract misses in free agency. Never mind the major miss at head coach and along the coaching staff. Joe Shane is back for 2026. He better get it right this time around. Otherwise, he's gone in 2027, and so will probably be whoever he hires in 2026. So shaky ground that he's standing on, shaky ground that a new head coach is walking onto. I hope they get it right, and I hope this head coach is the guy to lead us out of this abyss. But unfortunately, guys, it's a little bit hard to feel hope sometimes when you're looking at the record, when you're looking at the stats, and you're looking at the body of work that Joe Shane has produced. Again, he's gotten better. He is a first-time general manager. Maybe he is just, maybe it was just, you know, learning lessons for him and he is able to turn things around in 2026 and beyond. I really hope so. I do think, though, the Giants have to make a decision. Shane has only 1 year left on his contract. It's very atypical of a team to walk through the final year of a general manager's deal without an extension. So the fact that he's retained could mean that he gets extended another year, and that might add some security for a head coach coming in potentially. So we'll give you guys any updates on that. We'll keep you posted on whether or not Shane does get an extension. And like we said, as we go through this process, maybe all of the head coaches tell ownership, we don't want to work with Joe Shane. Maybe a change does come, although that is unlikely. Again, guys, we're going to keep you updated on every little bit of information that drops out of this head coaching search and out of the New York Giants facilities over the coming days, weeks, and months, as we always do here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. Listen to Apple or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.